Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozogoz.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we are talking about Street Fighter Alpha, the movie, a movie from 1999. I chose this one because it's about time for more Street Fighter, don't you think?
No.
Well, we have more Street Fighter that we can cover.
No.
I was going to say that is Street Fighter the most adapted video game?
I think Mortal Kombat might have just edged it out.
But in terms of anime?
Yeah, that's what I mean, because they had those standalone movies over the last couple of years. But anyway. It was animated by Group Tech, the company behind Beautiful Joe and a bunch of anime based on Street Fighter, including Street Fighter 2, which we covered on this very podcast. Street Fighter Alpha, the movie, currently has a My Animalist score of 6.51. It's based on the Street Fighter Alpha franchise, a fighting game franchise developed by Capcom and first released in 1995. By the time this movie came out, there were three Street Fighter Alpha games, so we'll get into the adaptation part of this. Anyway, my synopsis goes, Ryu fights and wins against foes, but can he fight the power within himself? Artura?
I really like yours. Mine is, Ryu encounters his younger brother as he battles and attempts to overcome the Dark Hadou, though there might be more than we know occurring behind the scenes of it all.
And Gozogoz?
Ryu struggles with Dark Hado and Chun-Li has hot thighs.
Now, is that the synopsis for this or for anything Street Fighter 2?
No, she has
particularly
hot thighs in this one. And not only thighs, and like abdomen and the pubic area and everything.
I think you mean groin.
No, I don't mean groin specifically, just that area. Everything from lower torso onwards.
Anyway, the movie starts with, we open on a card saying that this commemorates Street Fighter 2's 10th anniversary, and then get scenes of Akuma and I think Ryu being cross-cut with the credits. And I think this is the first time we've properly seen Akuma. The two previous Street Fighter things we covered barely showed him at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was the first appearance of Akuma. I assume it was Street Fighter 2 something. I'm not sure if he was in the original one.
I don't think he was in the original one, no, so he probably wasn't in the adaptation we covered. But he did appear briefly in the previous thing, Ties That Bind, but it was just flashes here and there.
Mm. I mean, he mostly stands in one place 24/7, so he wouldn't appear.
They have to go to him, because he ain't coming to you. Then we get to the titles before someone powers up and causes some paper screen doors to burst. It's Ryu, surprisingly enough, wondering what an evil key he senses is, before immediately guessing that it is Akuma. We cut to a dock where Sakura is deciding to go training instead of shopping with her friends. Training is to eat hot dogs, so that she can visit America and participate in an eating contest, so that she will get in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I don't think, like, visiting America was part of the goal. It was just incidental. Just, like, I want to be the best at eating wieners.
She did specify America in the dub and the subtitles.
I mean, she did, but, like, that's just incidental. That's where you become the best at eating wieners is America. She didn't care that she's going to America in particular. It's just, that's where I have to go.
It's just the wiener part that mattered most.
Yeah.
Nearby, Ryu is looking out at the ocean and thinking about Akuma murdering his master. We cut to a temple where a kid has just arrived and tells the priest that their big brother is there, making the priest laugh. It may have been a flashback. The edges of the screen were cloudy. That happened a couple of times. It really threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I thought that it was like a flashback to, like, that was Akuma as a child.
Right, yeah. We cut to Chun-Li beating up and chasing some bad guys at the docks, where Sakura witnesses one of the bad guys hold a kid hostage. Ryu comes to the rescue, and Chun-Li doesn't recognize him. This as good a time as any to explain that Street Fighter Alpha is a series that takes place between Street Fighter and Street Fighter 2. So technically, well, literally the characters hadn't met by that point.
That would explain it. I was really confused, I'm not going to lie.
That's why I figured I'd explain it at some point.
That's why Ken has longer hair in this one, because his hair grows backwards. He gets balder. He'll eventually be bald. Okay.
He keeps getting haircuts. It's that simple.
When he was born, he was Rapunzel, and when he's gonna die, he'll be a prune.
Later at the Interpol office, Chun-Li is filling in paperwork, having not interviewed Ryu or seemingly spoken to him at all.
He threw up smoke bomb and ran away.
She uses her computer to find out who Ryu is, discovering that he defeated Sagat, the Muay Thai emperor. And yeah, that's what you do at the end of the first game. So in a name thing where M. Bison is actually Sagat and Sagat is actually Vega and... No, it's just he beat up Sagat and won. The end. Chun-Li's partner enters and she obviously hides her laptop screen from him. Or hides it in an obvious way. That would have been a better way to phrase that. He laughs it off and tells her that the people they caught work for Shadow Law. Apparently, Shadow Law is funding a biologist named Professor Sadler who is gathering martial artists.
Is Shadow Law a precursor to Shadowloo? Or is that just a mistake?
It's a pronunciation thing, because it was Shadow Law in the last thing.
Okay. I didn't remember that.
Yeah, I was curious. I thought, should that not be Shadow Lou? But then I checked my notes from the previous thing, and Shadow Law popped up. Oh, okay.
Which makes me want to examine the name Shadow Lou, and it's like, we will name our organization the most evil thing, Shadow Lou. Everyone is afraid of evil toilet.
I mean, I am. Chun-Li then wonders if her father is with the professor. This never comes up again. We cuts to Ryu climbing some steps up a hill with a bucket of water, where he has a drug trip of someone with violet hair named Rose. She taunts him and uses magic against him, then gives him a tarot card of the devil. The card and her disappear, and Ryu comes to find Ken in front of him, who is holding a bouquet of flowers. As the pair continue up the steps, Rose ponders what this new person may change as the tarot card falls to the floor. So, why did it appear and then disappear and then reappear?
It's a magic tarot card.
The flowers were to lay at the gravestone of their master, where they have a brief discussion before Ken goes to fetch some water. So Ryu did drop the bucket when he had his drug trip, but he didn't imagine dropping it.
That's the complicated part about drug trips. You never know.
I feel like we should now talk about how this film is really poorly edited. It's really confused.
Oh, we can definitely get into that later. I mean, stay tuned for if we like this or not.
I feel like we should say it now before we talk about more stuff, because it may sound like we were just stupid and we didn't know what was happening. No, the film is actually edited like that. Like, you have the character in one place and then... In the next scene, he's completely in a completely different place, and he had no idea how he went from one place to the other. He didn't say he was going to the store or something.
Well, there's a fight later, and the way I was writing notes confused me, so I just deleted the whole section and just summed it up in one sentence because. Anyway. Suddenly, the flowers fall over, and Ryu freaks out as Akuma tells him to let out his dark shadow. Ken hears an explosion from far away and returns to find Ryu in the Yamcha death pose. He senses something and looks up, spotting the kid from the maybe flashback. And then there's a little time skip of like 10 minutes maybe, and Ken has discovered that the kid is Ryu's brother and named Shun.
Not to be confused with Sean from Street Fighter 3.
Yeah, not Sean, oh, okay, Shun.
Okay. Yeah, total difference.
Sean, who's also a kid who isn't no one's brother, but he follows Ken around.
The kid hands over a photo as proof of a woman and a kid, and it has Ryu's name written on it. How this is proof, I do not understand.
Well, I mean, haven't you ever been handed a photo of you with your name on it, and you're like, oh my god, you're my long-lost grandfather? That's just how you claim people nowadays, no?
Only twice in the last week. Like,
and Ken goes, oh shit, your mother is hot, is she single?
He does. Shun goes on to explain that their mother left Ryu with a martial artist right after he was born because she had a good reason.
I mean, that's irrefutable evidence right there.
Like, he says, she explained it to me and she had a good reason. Well, what is it?
It was a good reason. Don't question it.
Later, they're in the temple earlier, eating a meal, then sleeping. All while Ken is asking why the kid who just became an orphan is with them. Okay, well, as they're training on the beach, he reveals that their father is alive, but he's cagey with the details, so that's why I wrote orphan. And then he asks to fight Ryu. We cut to Sakura, who's trying to find Ryu, and then back to the trio, who are now on the roof of the temple and about to dig into some pork and beans. This is Mom's special recipe. Yeah, you can get that from a tin. Shun talks about his mum a bit, and then we cut to that night where Ryu is struggling with his dark Hado. Ken wakes suddenly, finding himself alone without Ryu or Shun, and Ryu is walking like a zombie in his sleep when Ken catches up to him. Ryu starts to go Super Saiyan 4, and Ken socks him in the breadbasket.
I thought the same about the Super Saiyan thing. I was like, oh no, here comes the hair.
Right? It's not just normal Super Saiyan. It's specifically Super Saiyan 4. He's got the sharp eyes, the sharp teeth and the red eyes. And it's like, yeah, this is a missing scene from Dragon Ball GT.
Yeah, I'd say there's Super Saiyan 4. He's going werewolf.
Shun arrives suspiciously late, and Ryu tells him not to touch him. This goes nowhere. We get a flashback of the master saying that you shouldn't let the Dark Hado take over. And then, present day, Shun confronts Ryu, asking when the Dark Hado had begun to awaken. Ryu makes Ken promise to kill him if the Dark Hado takes him over. We cut to Chun-Li and her partner. We cut to Chun-Li, and her partner says that there's a street fighting competition being held in Kabuki Town, and that Professor Sadler is coming to watch. Cutting to the temple, Ken has just mentioned that he's in Japan specifically to participate in the competition. Which brings up questions later. We get a weirdly serious sequence where Ryu teaches Shun how to tie a headband, and cut to shortly after, Sakura has finally tracked Ryu down to the temple, only to learn that they left for Kabuki Town minutes ago. She chases after them, and for some weird reason, we get a camera angle so we can see right up her skirt.
Well, that's the license.
Later, Ken is having issues trying to find the tournament area, so runs off to get an internet connection on his pocket PC. Ryu and Shun are threatened by some lowlifes, and Shun beats them up, clearly enjoying going too far, until Ryu socks him in the breadbasket.
In the groin.
So that's what that part of the body is called.
Yeah, I just like that term, breadbasket. It means the tummy area.
No, I actually really like it. That's a really nice term.
Changes how it sounds when you say Ryu socks him in the tummy. Chun-Li arrives from around the corner, and we cut to Sakura getting directions in the same bar that Ken had apparently ducked into for an internet connection. Goons try to assault Sakura, who does a spin kick, which misses. And then Ken comes to the rescue, and we get another upskirt shot of Sakura. You may be surprised to hear that this is the second and final time that that happens in this movie. So, open it all. She asks if he knows Ryu, and we cut to Chun-Li introducing herself to Ryu as they take an elevator up to the arena. Now, this arena had enough publicity where Ken learnt about it in America and travelled to take part in it, but it's literally a crumbling building. Like, how did Ken hear about this?
Well, to be fair, most street fights take place in crumbling buildings. At least not on a stadium. Or in an octagon. They're street fights. They need to be in the streets adjacent area.
Okay, that and the dilapidated buildings are adjacent.
Well, they're practically a street. You can drive through them, and no one will bat an eye.
On the ground floor, Ken and Sakura arrive at the building, and inside, Vega kills a guy, winning the fight, and we never see Vega again. The next
you mean Balrog?
Sorry, yes. The guy with the Wolverine claws.
Not to be confused with M. Bison.
The next two fighters are Shun versus Zangief, and then after a minute, Ryu also leans in to save the kid's life. Maybe don't let him sign up.
I know, right? Especially to some random street fight.
And they did Zangief really dirty. Like, he just grunts. He's one of the most entertaining characters to just listen to. And he just grunts here. And also, he doesn't think twice about beating up a little child.
Well, spoilers for the adaptation part, but Zangief isn't in the roster of this game. Zangief almost wins several times, and this is me summing up this entire fight because it was just so confusing. Each time he's interrupted by either Ryu or Shun powering up with the Dark Haddo and then not doing anything with it. And then finally, Ryu Kamehameha's the wall, missing Zangief at the last moment, and blows part of the building off.
The power of Super Saiyan 4 really is astounding.
Ken feels up Sakura to discover that her leg is broken, and Zangief falls to his doom despite having only fought a normal street fighting match against a poor opponent. Like, what did he do wrong?
He probably survived.
But we never see him again. As far as the lore of this movie goes, he's dead.
No, we're pretty sure he survives.
Was he in the Street Fighter 2, the movie? Was he in that? I can't remember.
Yes, he was. He fought E. Honda, I believe.
No, didn't Dal Sim fight E. Honda?
Oh, yeah. He definitely appeared and fought someone.
Okay. Well, there we go. We now know that he survives.
Shun explains that their father used the Dark Haddo, and like, I thought you were born with it, yet Ryu suggests that the kid learnt it from their father. That means Ryu also learnt it, so why is he trying to not use it if he specifically learnt it?
What I understood, though I could be completely wrong, was that you learn like a certain fighting style, and then if you go too far, that's when you start going crazy, and that's when you're supposed to not let it take over you, is what I got the impression of, at least.
I might be wrong about it, but in Street Fighter lore, it's fairly vague what the Dark Haddo is. It's kind of like Dark Side of the Force. If you like submit to your dark urges, and I don't even know if that's part of like the very first Street Fighter game, but I think it's in later ones it's retconned that when fighting Sagat, Ryu gets really mad, and I think that's why Sagat loses an eye, because Ryu goes too far in a fight.
Interesting.
I know, it's either the eye or the scar on Sagat's chest. That's it.
Okay, well, back to the movie. Someone with white hair drops in next to Ryu, and the fighter proves useless against them, though they have a cybernetic eye, so are they a fighter or are they a robot?
That seems a bit robot, sis. Don't you think they could be both?
They are a no-bot.
Sakura apologizes to Ken for getting hurt, but he tells her that ladies always come first in his book. Come back to that in a moment. Chun-Li joins the fight and is as useless as Ryu. And Shun saves Ryu from a blast and then seems to die in his arms. The white-haired person yakuzas their shirt and Ryu dark hados up and Kamehameha's white hair at point-blank range, vaporizing them, except for their eye. Now on the street, a block away, Ken and Sakura are safe as the rest of the damaged building explodes. Chun-Li discovers that Shun is actually still alive before a helicopter fires guns at her and kidnaps Shun. I mean, not the helicopter itself. People bungee cord from the chopper and kidnap him.
Oh, I'm glad I thought the helicopter had grown hands.
Yeah, I thought he was a transformer.
Chun-Li slaps Ryu and explains what just happened. And then later, Ryu is walking in the rain and trying to hold down the dark Hado. Two street toughs clobber him and leave him when he doesn't fight back, only for Chun-Li to arrive sometime later and take Ryu to Interpol, where she's told about the Dark Hado, and she figures that Shun was taken to Sadler's laboratory.
Seriously, couldn't she, like, have taken him from that roof? Did we have to cut right after to a scene where he's walking in an alley and then she finds him? Why? Yeah.
Because it's cinematic to show that he's sad. That's why he's walking in the rain and just letting some toughs beat him up.
It's like you have to assume that they split up and went their separate ways, and then Ryu's walking down in an alley and then Chun-Li finds him again, like,
okay, oh, he must have used a smoke bomb again.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point.
the docks.
I forgot he had those.
As luck would have it, it's exactly correct that Shun is at Sadler's laboratory. However, we cut to Sakura in the hospital, where she's playing Pocket Fighter on a Wonder Swan. It's a Ibuki versus Chun-Li match. Ken arrives to visit and says that Ryu hasn't eaten anything in days, then changes the subject, telling Sakura that she shouldn't get involved with martial arts unless she's willing to go all the way. Seriously, Ken, stop interacting with this child.
Well, he referred to her as a lady in an earlier scene, so he might not be aware that it's a child.
She was wearing a school uniform.
Well, and don't you know that adults in Japan wear school uniforms?
Usually not a middle school uniform. Actually, I don't know the difference between middle school and high school uniforms.
I think they're all sailor uniforms.
Yeah, but one point they're usually a solid color, and then another point they're white and color, so it shows a difference between middle school and high school uniforms.
Might depend on a school or something.
In Ken's opinion, the fight to become stronger was what was eating at Ryu. I figured it was his missing brother, but okay. Elsewhere, Rose visits Ryu again and warns that Shun is going to be overtaken by the Dark Hado. To prove Rose wrong that he himself isn't turning bad, he blows a hole in the wall.
Solid argument. See, the thing is, once you do that, no one wants to talk with you anymore, so then there's no more argument.
Yeah, but he blew a hole without using the Dark Hado. See,
it doesn't paint him in a good light.
Yeah, but as long as you don't use Dark Hado, you can basically murder anyone and people will think you're a good guy and they will leave you alone. Didn't you see Star Wars?
Oh, where the main character of three of the movies murders a room full of children.
Yeah. But he used the dark side. If he was on the good guy side, no one would care.
Anyway, Ryu tells Chun-Li that he's leaving, so she goes with him and doesn't tell Interpol. The next day, the pair are visiting someone that Ryu knows. It's Akuma. Ryu is almost overtaken by the Dark Shadow as Akuma moves around invisibly before suddenly appearing right behind Ryu. Or does he?
It's unclear.
Ryu asks Akuma if he has a son, and Akuma walks off suggesting that no, he doesn't. And I was left wondering what was the point of this sequence. Oh look, Akuma can destroy some wooden figures.
Ryu just was really curious if that prune face slept with a lady. Because that would...
So he was just there to call him a virgin?
No, he just thought that, like, he was imagining it happening, and he was really disgusted that someone would sleep with that prune face, and he just wanted to check if that's real. And yeah, he found out that it didn't happen, and then he was like, yeah, okay, I can move on with my life.
Ken turns up, having guessed that Ryu would be there seeking Akuma. And then Ken and Ryu fight while Chun-Li tries to stop them because she actually remembers that a child is missing. The two reach a stalemate, and Ken promises to murder Ryu if he falls to the Dark Shadow. And then we cut to a plane with a bunch of martial artists aboard heading to Sadler's place, including Ryu, Ken, and Chun-Li. Sodom meets them in a truck, which he tries to crash into the plane as it arrives, and we never see Sodom again. And they're all taken to, I want to say, a prison. Sadler tells them to fight, so they do. As far as martial arts tournaments go, it's not even a step above a schoolyard brawl, in my opinion. The first winner, who we later find out is named Birdie, is taken underground behind a big metal door, and Ken wonders what's going on through there. Birdie is gassed while the next people fight, including Dalsim and M. Bison, without his isekai truck or psycho power.
Yeah, because Sodom has that truck at the moment.
That's why you wanted to crash into them. So that's just tickled me.
That's the origin of the isekai track. That's the real origin. Sodom had it.
Meanwhile, Sadler is talking to himself about using all of the fight data, along with Ryu's Dark Shadow, to conquer the world. Ken wins his fight and is escorted downstairs, which is where Chun-Li and Ryu follow, and they all beat up the guards. Under the slightest interrogation, one of the guards explains Sadler's entire plan, so we can assume that Sadler talks to himself a lot. This guy just overheard it.
I mean villain monologues.
Ryu senses Shun, and Ken tells him to go and find his brother, while the other two rescue the other fighters. I'm sure that the people in the cell all have names, but I wasn't going to look them up, because they find them and open the cell. But apparently Birdie had been taken away already, so Ken and Chun-Li go to rescue him. Ryu locates Shun, who is almost docile and zombie-like, until Ryu speaks to him, having been experimented on for days. Like, it's literally days, because remember, Ken said, yeah, Ryu hasn't eaten in days, and then it was another day before we got to this place.
That's a really good point. I hadn't realized it was days.
I mean, it may have been one day since they went to see Akuma, but as the other two and Birdie are escaping, they're attacked by the white hare with the cybernetic eye from earlier. Despite being vaporized before, they're back, bandaged up, and just as impervious to harm as before. Ken distracts them while Chun-Li escapes with Birdie, but White Hare starts to power up. And outside, Ryu is jumped by Rita Repulsa's putties, who Ryu kills. And inside, Ken is almost blown up. And then Birdie is killed. White Hare forces Chun-Li to do the splits, defeating her. And when Ken tries to help, he's almost blown up again. White Hare takes them both aside, and Ryu finally arrives to help. But Shun's voice comes from White Hare, and Shun's face comes out of White Hare's sternum. This guy was never named. I know he has a name, but he wasn't actually named, so I didn't bother writing it down. Ryu tells Shun to stop hurting Ken, as if White Hare is actually being controlled by the kid or something. And as Ryu starts to fight, with white hair. We keep cutting to Professor Sadler, who appears to be hooked up to some sort of contraption, and he seems to be reacting to the hits. As he watches out through the window, the contraption appears to be feeding something into Sadler's back. After Whitehair tells Ryu that the only way to stop him is to use the Dark Shadow, Ryu just watches as Whitehair takes apart Ken and Chun-Li. Ken powers up and does a super strong Shuriken, but it does more damage to the injured blonde than to the white-haired monster. So Ryu Kamehameha's Whitehair, blowing a hole in them and taking off an arm, as well as blasting his brother free? Like, he was wandering around as a zombie. When did he get put inside of Whitehair? Whitehair, now defeated, Sadler bursts free of the control room, now muscular and capable of beating the tar out of Ryu, which he proceeds to do. Rose suddenly tuxedo masks her way into the scene, throwing a tarot card into the ground, and she reminds Ryu that he hasn't turned over the death card yet. Regardless, he continues to power up another Kamehameha to fire at Sadler, and meanwhile Shun tells him not to fire, Chun-Li tells him to win, Ken tells him that they don't fight to kill, and completely elsewhere, Sakura finally decides that the reason Ryu fights is to find the answer to why he fights. I'm leaving that pause in there because I was just absolutely clueless.
I mean, that's like the most profound thing that they managed to say in the movie, but it wasn't very well set up. It's like, expand on that, Jesus Christ.
Sakura spends about 5 minutes asking, why does he fight? Why does he fight throughout the movie? And it's like, that's what you came up with.
He fights because he's trying to figure out why he fights. No, I think you're trying to figure out why he fights and you're just giving up.
Sadler blasts Ryu with energy, and then Ryu blasts Sadler with energy, and it's very disappointing. Sadler dissolves into dust, and that's the end of him. Like, we don't even see a massive energy ball, or... No, it's... He fires energy, and then we cut to a view from outside the prison, way outside the prison, so you can't even make out any characters or energy. Ryu holds Shun and he asks Ryu why he came. Instead of answering, Ryu just remembers the scene of them eating on the roof of the temple. Back in the present, Shun presses the question, since it was an obvious trap, why did he come? So Ryu flashes back to sparring with Shun on the beach, and then he finally admits that Shun is his brother. A couple of times by now, someone had said that Ryu didn't believe Shun was his brother, but we literally never saw that from Ryu himself. We didn't see him doubting it. We didn't see him questioning. As far as we were shown, he readily accepted this child, this orphan, as his brother.
But the picture.
Shun dies in Ryu's arms while lamenting that he did this to help his mother or something. Time passes, and Chun-Li is beating up people, we assume criminals, and then the credits start, interspersed with scenes of Sakura training, Ken street fighting, and Ryu facing Akuma. So, was this a good adaptation?
The fighting was fine.
There were fights, and a lot of powering up. It felt like a Dragon Ball adaptation.
So, I watched some gameplay of... quite a bit of gameplay of the first Street Fighter Alpha, and Dalsim and Zangief don't appear in that game, so why were they in this game? They just invented like three new characters instead of using actual characters. There's not even a story in the game that they could have adapted. This was all made up, so why didn't they just make it up using the characters from the game?
Because we need to have Zangief.
Also, Chun-Li's costume was the wrong color.
Oh, for crying out loud.
In the movie, it's red. In the game, it's blue. Like, what's that about? Of course, this could be adapting something from the next two Alpha games, but I don't watch any gameplay for that.
I mean, like, if focusing on Ryu's backstory is a good good thing to like make a film about, but I feel like there's a live action online series that I feel like did it better. I think it's called Assassin's Fist or something like that.
Oh yeah, I'm aware of that.
It's not exactly the same story, but it's I mean it's, you basically want to learn about Ryu and Ken, why they are the way they are, what are their goals and stuff, and that does it better.
So when someone asks, hey, why are we eating on the roof, Ken doesn't just say, shut up, I like high places.
No, probably not.
So was this a Yata, a Nani, or a Baka Altura?
I think for me, it was definitely a Nani throwing towards Baka. I think the beginning was really slow and very typical, and I really like Ryu's backstory. But it just felt like there was a lot of Ryu self-deprecating and putting himself in situations that if you really were trying to fight a Dark Shadow, you wouldn't really do. So it kind of paints Ryu in a really stupid point in my position. So I kind of liked it a little more towards the middle, but the beginning and end were really just boring. So, Nani.
And Goz.
Yeah, I think it's Nani also. I appreciate what they're trying to do, but it's too confused. But on the upside, it has really good animation and the fights are fine. Just if you want to watch it, just watch a supercut of all the fighting. By the way, I was scanning through the thing looking for M. Bison and I couldn't see him.
He's wearing a beret.
Oh, that's Rolento.
Oh, I didn't know there was someone called Rolento.
Yeah, he's a Street Fighter Alpha 2 character. Oh no, I'm wrong. Rolento is from Final Fight also.
Well, Birdie was also from, I think, Final Fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't include couple of characters. Anyway, for me, it's a Baka. I hated the storyline. The animation was fine, but the shot composition and character designs are just bad. And yeah, I know they're based on characters from video game, but I just didn't like how most of the characters looked, especially the original ones, Sadler, Shun, and to a lesser extent, Whitehair. I suppose it was fine.
I do agree that the character design felt a bit off. I remember in one of the Street Fighter movies we were watching, and quite liked Chun-Li's entire design. And this time around, I really had to double take and be like, is that Chun-Li or am I just stupid? Probably partly the fact that I have a Fantasia, so I'm terrible at remembering faces. But still, like, that's not something I feel should have happened.
Is that Chun-Li or is it Rolento?
Yeah, it could be either one.
They don't look alike.
But yeah, did it deserve its... Does it deserve its Mayan Myth score of 6.51?
I think 6.5 is the absolute highest I could let it go. So that's like my two senses. I wouldn't make it any higher, but I definitely would probably bring it down a point or two if I had to. If not, I think it's fine enough where it is.
Yeah, I think I'd agree.
I would personally score it lower because yeah, I just didn't enjoy it overall as a package.
I think like I want to give it a benefit of the doubt and like maybe if I took more time and examined it more closely, then I would find something more. But yeah, on the first watch, I wouldn't score it very high.
But see, here's the problem. I don't think things should, like, you shouldn't have to investigate and rewatch and re-experience something to be able to enjoy it. And that's kind of how I felt about this. It's like, I'm not sure if I would like it more if I watched it again, but I'm sure that I liked the other things, the other Street Fighter things I watched more. So it kind of makes it difficult for me to really defend this one because it just felt so bad overall. And there were just a very few moments I really liked. Or well, I rather kind of appreciated it. I wouldn't say I really liked it. It was just more of a, it was all right. And that's not the kind of thing you want from something when you're watching it.
I mean, I agree, but I'm just making that argument because I usually found there to be more to, like, Street Fighter stuff in general. But again, I'm not fracturing it in, well, in like my current review for it. I'm just hoping that maybe there's something more to it.
No, completely understandable.
Well, anyway, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you for joining me, Goz and Atsura.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Piles Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on gamegrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. And until next time, game on.